You're listening to The Quoted Podcast Season 13, a season full of advice with some special guests. So make sure to tune in every Thursday for a new episode. Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Quoted Podcast. Happy Thursday. I hope that you are all just having an amazing day, and I hope you're excited for a new podcast episode. So today I'm actually ending off season 13, which is very exciting but also sad at the same time. But I'm ready for a new season and I'm very just excited for you to hear some of the upcoming episodes. But today I wanted to talk about your calling and how you were created for your calling. So obviously, if you didn't know, I wrote a book called Called by Name. It is all about how you were called by name and you were chosen by God to do what He has called you to do. And there's actually a verse in the Bible, Isaiah 43:1, that says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And this is God's reminder to us that we were not put on this earth for no reason and that we have a purpose. So I wrote my book, Called by Name, centered around that. And the protagonist kind of goes from just living a very simple life where she has good days and she has bad days, but she's just normal and nothing's happening, and then something happens, and then she kind of figures out what her calling is and learns how to make an impact in her town. And so yeah, if you've ever felt like you have no purpose, this is the episode for you, because I know we all feel like this sometimes. We all get lost in our thinking and we feel lost because we don't know what to do next. But anyway, I want to talk about the book Frankenstein by Mary Shelley. We are actually reading some of the book in my English class right now, and I really just wanted to tie this into the episode and talk for a minute about that. So if you don't know, Frankenstein is about this, I guess, is he a scientist? I guess Victor Frankenstein creates this monster, and he abandons the monster right from the beginning, and the monster goes on to wreak havoc and murders a lot of innocent people because of Victor's actions. So from the beginning of the book, Victor ran away and abandoned his creation. So his creation didn't know what his purpose was. He woke up completely confused, and he saw Victor running away from him and didn't understand why he was even there. He didn't understand why his creator was running away from him. And all of Victor's actions led the monster to want to seek revenge on him, because the monster felt so alone and abandoned, and he felt like he had no purpose because Victor did not give him one. Victor did not try to care for him like a mother would care for a child. He just left his creation because he was so overwhelmed by like the idea of even being responsible for his actions. So Victor's actions led to a consequence, and Victor's actions led his creation to go and do something horrible. But unlike Victor, God does not abandon us right when we are born. He sticks by our side and reminds us how we should live through His word, which is the Bible. And honestly, Satan just tries to lead us away from God and our calling by making us feel like we are alone, like the monster felt when he woke up. And if you choose Satan's side, you're going to feel like Frankenstein's monster. But if you choose God's side, you won't. And when I think about Victor, I think about how selfish he was and how he didn't care. He knew that he should not have created that monster and that it was his responsibility to care for it, and it was his fault when he went around murdering people. But yet he still refused to be the one to step up and say, "Hey, I did that, and I need to do something about that. I need to stop this revenge and murder nonsense." And honestly, guys, I think sometimes we feel like the monster from Frankenstein because, like I said, Satan tries to lead us away from God and our calling by making us feel like we are alone, like the monster. Because, like, every single time you start to feel insignificant and you start to look in the mirror and say, "Oh, I'm ugly. Oh, I'm fat. Oh, I'm this or I'm that," and you start to speak this negativity over yourself, that's Satan whispering in your ear, telling you how insignificant and worthless you are. Because the more he tells you that, the more he can make you believe that, and the more he can lead you away from God and what God has planned for you. And I truly think that his main tactic is to bring us down as much as he can and make us weak and make us vulnerable and make us want to make rash decisions. Like, in English today, we were answering this question. Actually, two different questions. So the questions were, since Victor is now experiencing a similar emotion as his creature, why doesn't he feel sympathy for it? Or has the creature wronged him too many times for Victor to think this way? Is it different to have had something and lost it compared to never having had something at all? And we started talking about how in class, how you, like, say, you want a relationship and you see someone else with one and you want that. You don't, you've never had a relationship before, so you can't relate to someone else having one. And you have different thoughts about what it would be like because you don't know what it is yet. Does that make sense? Like, we all have different perspectives on life and different perspectives on things. And we all have different weaknesses and different strengths. And Satan likes to find our weaknesses and bring us down. And the more he brings us down, the more we stray from God. And he has his ways. He has his ways. And I think when we stray from God, we start to think that God is like Victor. Like, God is our enemy. Because I've seen many people just over social media stray away from God because they think he abandoned them and that he's not there for them anymore. And they feel like he's giving them nothing in life, when in reality he's constantly working and he's constantly there for us. And so, if you have ever felt like God isn't there for you, just know that that was Satan. That was Satan trying to make you think he isn't there because God is always there. And y'all, y'all, you do have a purpose, you do have a calling. And just because you don't see it right now doesn't mean it's not there. I was opening my planner for the first time in like a whole month so I could make a little to-do list today. And I have the Live Original Planner by Sadie Robb. At the beginning of every month, there's a little quote. And for April, it said, "There is purpose in the waiting." And whenever I think of the waiting, I think about waiting for a boyfriend, waiting for a significant other. But the waiting isn't all about that. It's also about waiting for other things, like waiting for maybe you want to get a car, waiting to get a car, waiting to figure out your future. Like, there are so many things that we are left waiting for, and there are so many times when we get impatient and we try to strive to get something and work to get something that isn't supposed to be ours yet. And so I love that reminder, there's purpose in the waiting, because even if you can't see it, even if you can't see how God is working out your calling right now, He's working it out. And there's going to be something amazing for you in the future that you just haven't seen yet. And sometimes it's really hard to just believe that and to remember that. One of my favorite quotes ever is by Mark Twain, and it says, "The two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why." And I stand by this quote. I love this quote because it's a reminder that the day you were born and the day you find out why is so important, because so often we are just led away from our purpose, and we get disappointed by something not working out, and then we go in a completely opposite direction, or we just fail at something and then decide to give up. But what if the thing that you keep failing at is the thing that you should be striving for and working towards even more? Because maybe it looks like right now that's not the thing for you, because you keep failing and you can't get it right. Maybe it looks like that, but maybe you need to keep working for it. Like, okay, for example, I have a friend and he was trying to get a job at Chick-fil-A, and he, first of all, the manager was being very rude to him, and if I was him, I would have given up right away. I would have been like, "I'm not working here if you're going to be rude to me," because you know I'm sensitive. I don't know if he's as sensitive as me, but he kept working towards it. He wanted to work at Chick-fil-A so bad, and then he took the little test that you have to take, and he failed the test. So then he wasn't sure if he was even going to get the job. But then, and even as he keeps telling me this, I'm like, "You should just give up. You should just go find somewhere else to work. Because, like, what's the point in all this? What is the point in all of this waiting? And you failed. Why not give up?" But he did not give up. He took the test again, and this time he succeeded. And this time he got the job. He was not going to give up on what he wanted. And I love that. I love the perseverance there. Because how often do we give up? Like, you guys know. You know that I love writing. And I'm basically already a writer. Like, if someone asked me, like, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" I am already what I wanted to be when I grow up. Like, I'm already an author. So I never know what to say with that question. But, like, what I would really love is my own book in a bookstore one day. I wish that I could make writing my full-time job, but there's no way I could make enough money to do that, is what I think every day. I'm like, there's no way. Like, if you guys know, or if you knew how much it costs to use a regular publisher, then you would understand why I self-publish now. Because, like, as cool as it is to have your book on all these different websites and have news articles written about your book, the cost and the price to get there doesn't seem worth it to me. Like, the amount of money that I needed to spend to get quoted, published by Christian Faith Publishing, was just not ideal for me, because I spent more money than I gained. And not to discourage you, because sometimes it's hard to, like, when you start writing, nobody knows who you are, and so nobody really buys your book. And what I just really want to know is how authors write one book, publish one book, and then all of a sudden they're on the New York Times list. Just like that. Like, how do they do that? Like, that's what I want. I want to be the author that everybody wants to read my books. But I'm not there. I'm not there right now because I've just started and nobody knows who I am. And sometimes I feel like I want to just give up because I feel like nobody's ever going to know about my books and no one's ever going to want to buy them. But if I give up now, what's the point of that? If I give up now, I won't ever know if I could have ever gotten what I was working towards. Like, right now, I don't have a book in the bookstore, and I want that so bad. And maybe I don't have that right now, but maybe I'll have that one day. And it's if you know that something is your calling and it feels like it's so far out of your reach, don't give up on it. Don't give up on it. If that is what you were meant to do, keep working for it. Keep doing everything you can to get there. And don't give up. Because ultimately, if that is really what you were meant to do, God's going to get you there. He's going to get you there one way or another. And it might mean being in a time of waiting. It might mean being patient and spending hours every night trying to get stuff done just so you can work towards that. It might mean writing one page a day to finish that book. But God will get you there. You're not working by yourself. If you want that, if you're trying to get that, and that's part of God's plan for your life, you're gonna get there. You just have to trust Him. You just have to trust Him. And make good choices along the way. Don't cheat your way to the top, because cheaters don't get what cheaters are trying to get. Okay? You got to get it yourself. You got to do it the right way. And you got to be honest about it. So, yeah. Oh, another big... I have so many big dreams. I would absolutely love to have my own coffee shop connected to a bookstore one day. I have it all planned out in my head and in my journal. But, like, just the idea of being able to achieve that just sounds so far away. And I'm like, there's no way. There's no way I could ever do that. Or what if I have my own publishing company and I helped authors like me get their books published with a reasonable price? Like, there are so many things that I just would love to do. And they seem so impossible. But you know what? Nothing is impossible with God. And if He wants it done, it will get done. So take that with you today. That's all I have to say. And please go check out my book, Called by Name. Link in the description of the episode. Yeah. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Quoted Podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you'll come back. I'm not posting an episode next week, but the next week we have our first guest of season 14. And I'm so excited for you to hear our conversation. I'm so excited. So come back 2 Thursdays from now. Okay, bye for now. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Quoted Podcast. Come back next week for more.